Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, author. I am also a holistic nutritionist and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. Welcome again to the How Now podcast. And if this is your first time on the How Now podcast, welcome to the show. Make sure that you go to www.hownowpodcast.com. Okay. Make sure that you pick your favorite podcast platform and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also go to the bottom of the page where you'll see the banner for this week's show, and it will take you to the YouTube, to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. So you'll always know what's happening in the now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. All right, so let's get into today's show. Today's show is entitled Beauty for Ashes. Okay, and we're going to be talking about spiritual journeys. Okay, we always are talking about wellness journeys, things that are going on in our lives. And we hear about people's physical journeys. We hear about people's weight loss journeys, you know, but the one that is dear to our hearts is our spiritual journey, because we know that a lot of things that we are experiencing are a result of things that have happened in our lives. And we have to have a certain mindset that goes along with that journey. You know, what is our why? We talk about that. And how does our spirituality, take a part in that? And so to talk about our spiritual journey and beauty for ashes and what that means is my beautiful guest. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time. All right.
Hello, everyone. My name is Linda Brooks Johnson. I'm a certified professional life coach specializing in cancer coaching, grief coaching, divorce coaching, spiritual coaching, and caregiver coaching. I'm a two-time, 24 and a half year breast cancer survivor, and I just enjoy, very passionate about coaching.
Yes, yes. Well, welcome to the show, Linda. We appreciate you being here and taking time out of your schedule. Okay. And if anyone knows about journeys, you said a two-time cancer survivor. You know, that's huge.
Yes.
That is huge, you know, because we understand the effects. We have seen how it has, you know, caused grief in families, as you mentioned, being a grief coach, you know, how it has changed lives. How we have seen people be triumphant in being survivors, mm-hmm. and those who have mm-hmm. succumbed to cancer. We understand how much of an undertaking it is to go through that. And we know that that has been part, again, of your spiritual journey. So take me first to, you know, we always talk about things that are going on prior to the pandemic or what was going on right at the pandemic. So we start there and then we kind of move forward from there. So what was going on in your life and in your business right before the pandemic started?
Oh, wow. Right before the pandemic, I was diagnosed with my second diagnosis of breast cancer. I was caring for my mom who had a severe stroke, lost the ability to walk. So I had my hands full, two kids. A little bit after that, both veered off into secondary college endeavors. And I was left with mom by myself. That was a very traumatic time, just getting through the pandemic. And with me being diagnosed again, I had to put her in a place that I didn't want to put her, and that was a nursing home. So going through the pandemic and then being isolated from her, for seeing me every day, talking to me every day, and getting to do those things with me that she was accustomed to do it was a very trying time for both of us. Tried to go and make my presence there, but unfortunately was not able to see her, and she wasn't able to see me. And I think in that isolation period, her health started to decline. And I was able to, moving forward, get her after the pandemic, started to let up a little bit, bring her back home. And about 5 weeks after that, she transitioned. So at the age of 90 in 2021, I lost her. Well, I won't say I lost. She transitioned, and she's in a much better place. Moving forward, life challenges, just getting from day-to-day things, trying to cope with the new reality and the new norm after the pandemic has definitely been an endeavor. Business has not been where it was, but God is faithful. Life as I know it has taken a very drastic change, but we're living through it. But to say the most part, I've seen God do some amazing and miraculous things. And that's, I guess, the most pivotal point for me, is really seeing God's word come to life.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something that's important, because, you know, when we are faced with adversity, when things do happen, we have to, you know, go into that toolbox. And that's something that I say often, you know, when we have certain situations that come up, what do we reach for? Ooh. You know, if there is something that happens, if our car has that flat tire, you know, do we have that spare? If our car runs out of gas, do we have that gas can in the back? Do we have what we need? But when we're faced with adversity, what is it that we reach for? Ooh. You know what I'm saying? And that's important. And, you know, that's an important question to ask. Mm-hmm. And like you said, with your mom transitioning, with you battling your second round of breast cancer, I'm sure that faith played an important part in that. And that was one of those toolboxes, or one of those things that you reach for. And so talk to me a little bit about what that looked like for you.
Well, with me, it was a lot of fasting and praying, because I've learned early on that you don't want to do anything without first seeking God's face in it. Because sometimes we plan a lot of things, but he's got another plan altogether. And like I say many times, it's best to get the master plan than to try to deal with any other plan, because he's the only one that can really help you through no matter what situation, circumstances you're going with or faced with. Only God has the answer.
Yeah. And that's something that we have to keep in mind. You know, I think about, you know, those who know my story, you know, and the passing of my daughter, you know, it's a lot about your faith. And you start to say, okay, how am I going to best respond and not react to the situation, to the things that are going on around me, you know? And for those of us who are on a spiritual journey, you know, or have been on one for some time, you know, is, what do we reach back to? Is it a special word? Is it the word? Is it, you know, sometimes it may be a verse in the Bible. Sometimes it may be, you know, a favorite saying. But it becomes this space of, what is it that I rely on? You know, where is it that I go? For some who may, you know, may not, you know, necessarily practice a particular faith, you know, some people call it, you know, some people say God, some people say source, some people have a different, you know, word for the person that they, or the entity that they serve. And then it becomes a question of, okay, you know, how do I draw into that? How do I go into that space? So I know, like I said, you do a lot of grief coaching and you do a lot of life coaching, but you mentioned spiritual coaching as well. So when we talk about spiritual coaching, and I do some spiritual coaching as well, you know, what do those clients look like?
Well, what I try to instill first and foremost is, my coaching is on a different, totally platform. It is Bible-based, meaning that you have to want or have a personal relationship, either establish or want to establish it. Because I can't help you if God don't speak to me and you're talking to him as to what you need so that he can use me as the vessel to do it. So it's like we've got a win-win relationship, whereas you have to have or want to have a spiritual foundation rooted and grounded with a personal relationship with Christ.
And that's important. Like you said, it's all about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is important. I think that, when I think about spirituality, and when I think about my personal relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
is that I had to come to the end of myself. And in coming to the end of myself, that meant surrendering. That
exactly.
meant surrendering who I am as an individual,
yep.
and saying, you know, I surrender,
mm-hmm.
and I'm willing to seek his face.
Mm-hmm.
And that in doing that comes a level of obedience as well. And so
I think that's
you have to have a relationship. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that's where the biggest obstacles and roadblocks in our lives come in, is because we're so committed to doing and being in control. And surrendering, meaning that you've got to let go of everything, every thought, every ability that you have, is relying and expecting less from man, but more from God. And when you can get at that place and change that mindset, you begin a new journey of knowing what it's like to be vulnerable, to be at your lowest. And, you know, I'm finding in my walk, my journey, that God is with me at the most times when I'm broken, when I can't do anything, when I can't see my way, when I can't grab for that air to hold me up, to get me up. When I am at my lowest of low, that's when I find that he's there. You know, he's been there all the time, but it's something in that brokenness,
yes,
that you can see the vivid picture of God and his hands on you.
Yes.
You know, so that's the place where I've learned. My mom used to always say that your greatest blessings are in your greatest trials.
Yes.
And it's true. If you look and go back and you analyze things that you've gone through, you can be praying for something and all hell is breaking loose, and you find God blesses you right in that storm, because that's what he wants to know. Will you persevere? Will you trust me? Will you stay on the course and make sure that you see what I'm doing? Even when I can't trace your hand, I can trust your heart. You know,
yes.
Those are things that we learn through those valley experiences. Because
yes.
without those valley experiences, you'd never know what that scripture that I love most, where it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Only way
yes.
you can taste him, you got to try him.
That's right.
And if you don't try him, you'll never be able to know what he'll do. You
That's
know,
right.
So it's just really surrendering all, withholding nothing. Because
yes.
everything that we are, everything that we ever hope to be, is in God anyway. So why not give it to him?
Yes, yes. I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, I have a friend who recently shared with me. She was, going through a season. And the
mm-hmm.
one thing that she said is she was preparing breakfast and she was making eggs. And she said, you know what? She said, it was not until, she said, I was going to crack that egg to make myself an omelet. And she said, all of a sudden it struck her that until she broke that egg, she wasn't
Ooh.
able, it was not able to be used. Okay.
Uh-uh.
I said,
uh-uh.
Come on, son.
And that, yeah, you see that?
Because
and that's a great analogy.
In the egg, that solid state that egg
uh-uh.
is in,
couldn't be
no,
used.
Until it is cracked and broken, it can't turn into that
into
devil
pieces.
egg. It
Into
cannot turn
pieces.
into that omelet. It can't turn into that scrambled
Uh-uh.
egg. It cannot be
Uh-uh.
mixed with anything else. You can't do
Uh-uh.
anything with it until that shell is broken.
It's broken.
And I
and look
said,
at what
Mama.
look at the degree of awesomeness within the egg, what it can do after it's broken. You know, after it's broken, then you can get the essence of the egg.
That's right. That's right.
That's a,
All
that's
right,
a,
because imagine
oh.
when you break the egg, until that egg is broken, there's life in that
Yeah.
egg. When it's you know, comes out of that chicken, and that shell is broken, and that little baby chick comes out of it, that's a life.
Yep.
But not
Yep.
until it's broken.
There you go. The
You
best
know,
thing comes when it's broken.
Yes.
That's like on that potter's wheel. You're
That's
going
right.
around that potter's wheel. You're
That's right.
nothing. Little water, little clay. But if you keep molding it and making
That's
it,
right.
keep adding the little heat to it and patting
Yes.
on it. You know, when you get through with it, you've got a beautiful piece of pottery, you know,
Yes.
but it's not going to be that way until it's been broken and molded.
Right. That's right. And sometimes you can put our hands on that clay and
Dude.
start molding it, and our
Yep.
hand may slip and it may
Yep.
go down. But
You
what
got it.
happens is it can start right back over again. You keep on
Yes, it
pressing on that
does.
wheel and you keep on molding it, and it
Yes.
comes right back into shape again, and you start
Yes.
all over again. It's not lost.
Mm-mm.
Things are
Mm-mm.
not lost in it.
Mm-mm.
Just like you said, that egg can be broken, and sometimes it can make a beautiful, perfect omelet.
Oh,
Sometimes it can
yes,
make a
Lord.
beautiful, perfect egg, and it
Mm-hmm.
can start to make you a beautiful deviled egg, or, you know, sometimes you don't just brace it, you just scramble it up. But it still is something that can nourish and that can sustain, that can still be used.
Yes,
And that's
Lord.
the thing.
Oh,
It can
and that's
be
just what our
used.
Father does.
Yes,
And see, we don't
yes.
even know the essence of our beauty until we see the ashes come and be molded
Yes.
together. And from those ashes, God takes and perfect beauty.
Yes.
But you look at nothing but destruction, but He takes
Right.
that and mold it into perfection.
That's it. I love that. I love that because it is so true of the essence of who we are. You know, we definitely have to get to that place of brokenness. And so many of us think of being broken as a form of defeat. You
Just
know,
the
but
opposite.
yeah, we can't learn and we can't grow if we're not first broken, because we have this expectation. Until that happens, until something happens, we have this thought that, oh, everything is perfect, everything is supposed to be like this. And how do we ever grow? How do we ever learn? How do we ever transform unless we get to that place of
That's it.
brokenness?
It never worked. Never
Oh
worked.
my.
It's a time when, you know, I'm understanding what it means when it says, Lord, allow me to decrease as you increase. Because as
Yes.
long as we are within our mindset and our being and our control, we're going to go on our own way. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to mess up what God has already perfected. But it's only when we're, excuse me, broken
Yes.
that we don't have any way to look but up. And that's where, you know, when you're on your knees and you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything, but God's got you totally isolated and broken. And you're like a baby that needs the mom. You know, Lord, here am I. I just need a word from you. You know, and that's, I'm so glad that my journey has been one of where it has caused me to seek God like never before. Because from day to day, we will get to a place where everything we know and been taught is wrong. What we get to that place of surrenderance, withholding nothing, and just being totally vulnerable before God, available for Him to do whatever He wants to do.
And I mean, and even in doing that, we have to understand that, you know, it's a journey.
Oh,
It
yeah.
it's never that we get to a point of completion, because
Oh,
just like
no.
you said, things happen and we think, okay, I've made it through that storm. It doesn't mean that storms
Take
don't
a
ever
breath, because
rise
here come
again.
another one coming.
That's right. That's right. That's why, you know, we don't have an umbrella and just use it one time and throw it away. Because guess what? The
No.
rain's coming again.
You got it.
And so the one thing that we want to do is
Sun
make
goes
sure that
down,
we had that umbrella, because here it comes
but
again.
rain.
It doesn't mean that it's
Yes.
never going to rain. We don't wear a coat one time because it's only going to be cold one time. That cold is coming again. That rain is
Ooh,
coming
what you
again. That
talking about?
storm is coming again.
Yes, and
And
it's
so,
real. It's real.
yeah. And so we have to prepare for that, because sometimes, just like you said, two-time cancer survivor. You know, the first time you felt victorious, yes, it was it. But here it comes again. And at that
Well,
point, some people may say, I can't do it again.
it's funny though, because I was 39 when I was first diagnosed, and it was really ironic, because the doctors told me at the age of 19 I had fibroids taken off of my uterus, over 12 of them, and they told me I'd never be able to conceive any children. And it, like I said, in those storms, that's when God really does what he does. And I had my son via C-section. He was the last one God gave me too. But he was the last one 6 months after I've gotten him into the world, I get diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I had to, I can remember it like it was yesterday, and I had this conversation with God, and I said, Lord, you told me that you were going to give me a child. I said, but you gave me two. I said, I just don't believe you gave them to me to take me away from. I said, I just don't believe that's what you've done. And I remember him saying to me that, because at first it was like, well, we can take the breast, we can do this, we can do that. We don't have to go through chemo. And God told me exactly what I was to do, and I did it. And then he told me, they was like, well, you don't have to do chemo, because chemo was something I feared. I had seen my dad go through it, and I feared it. But I was in denial that I feared it. So it was at that point where God was letting me know, you got to face your giant. See, anything in our lives that we are afraid of, God's going to make us face it. You can't go forward until you face that fear that will release you from anything that could deter you from where God is taking you. So I had to face that fear. And I never will forget the voice of God in my ear saying, and I was looking at my two kids. When they came in, two doctors to tell me the prognosis, I didn't hear anything. It's like I was above air, seeing them, mouth moving, but I didn't hear a thing. And I heard the voice of God says, you're going to go through something, but I'm with you. The chemo is my blood going through your body, making you white as snow. That when you come through this, you shall be white as snow. Now, 19 years later, I get to face it again. But even in that, I've reminded God what he said, you shall live and not die, to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I give him back his words, because I know that God has a purpose and a plan. And the enemy will come at all accounts to make you turn from what God has told you and bail ship. But that's the time when you've got to hold on to dear life, because God is birthing something that you don't see. He's doing something in all of that adversity that you think he's perfecting you.
Oh, I hope y'all are writing this down. Okay, because nuggets are being dropped here today. One thing that you said that is so important is that you gave his words back to him. You know,
You got
when I
to.
think about the Bible and I think about it, some people call it our daily bread. Just like
And
we
it
eat
is.
bread for sustenance and for
Ooh.
nourishment, we go back to it. We can feast on it and it's going to sustain us. That
Ooh.
is the same thing that is true with the word. You know, there are so many promises that he makes to us. And
Ooh.
think about the when you feel as though somebody has done you, quote unquote, somebody has done you wrong. The first thing you say, well, you said you were gonna do this, and you told me that you were gonna do that, and you didn't keep your promise, you know. And no, we're not challenging him, but we're just saying we're believing what it is that he said. You told us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we have to be in that mindset of believing that his word is true. Now, we don't know how he's going to do it. He may tell us, you know, you're going to get from point A to point B, but he doesn't tell us how we're going to get there. He doesn't tell us whether we're going to walk, fly, whether we're going to have a vehicle, whether we're going to go by skateboard,
Girl.
Roller skate,
Woo!
Scooter. He doesn't tell us how we're going to get there. He just says, trust that you're going to get there.
There you
but
go.
Sometimes because it's not in the mode that we think it should be,
That's
then we
it.
say, oh, well, you said you're going to do it. I didn't tell you how you were going to do it. I just
And
said
I
it was
didn't
going to
tell
be
you when.
different. Say it again.
You know, I've been on this journey, and he just recently brought me off of a 2.5 year isolation. And if anybody told me that I could have gone through a period of where people that I thought was in my corner, people that I thought I could pick up the phone and say, hey, I need to do this, that if anybody would have told me that God would totally remove my children, everything away from me, I would have said, no, that ain't God. But yeah, that is God. Because when God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and he has the time that he wants to use you for, he'll remove everything away from you to get your attention, to pour into you that he needs to pour into you for you to be effective on the mission that he's getting ready to release you for.
Yes.
And I didn't understand that to the magnitude. You know, I used to hear the church mother say, God separate the consecrate. It's a true thing.
Yes.
You know, because when he does that, he's found something in you that he needs you to do, that he's equipped you for, that can't nobody do it but you.
That's right. That's right. And I know we have to be careful what we ask for too.
Ooh, what you
Because
talking
sometimes
about?
we will sit there and we will pray and we'll say, Lord,
Ooh.
I just pray that you can move any boundaries and stumbling blocks out of my way. And then when he removes them, you go, wait a minute. No, why'd you remove that person?
Right.
Because we didn't
Mm-mm.
see that person as a stumbling block or an obstacle, but he did.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And he was faithful to
Mm-mm.
his word. You asked him to remove that
Exactly.
person or that thing. And when he
Exactly.
did it, it was like, oh, because again, what we think is best for us is not always what's best for us. And so when we ask him to remove those things and then all of a sudden they're removed, you know, they're removed because he wants you to not rely and to depend on those things, but to
Exactly.
rely and depend and trust in him. And so sometimes, like you said, he has to remove all of those things before we go, oh, this is what you meant. You know? And it's an ongoing process, right?
Yes. And see, you know, as we're praying, that's why I really believe it's crucial that we pray in the spirit. Because when you're praying outwardly, the enemy hears that too. And oftentimes, I know I've had clients that have been praying for marriage and been speaking out things. You know, the enemy hears that, and he too gets to work in. And oftentimes we get things that we think is God, and they're sent spirits. You know, that's why you got to be careful and mindful who you let know what God is telling you. Because everybody doesn't have your best interests at heart.
That's
Some
right.
people are smiling in your face and a dagger behind your back. Some people
That's
are praying against those things that you share with them, you know, because some people just have that sense of jealousy so deep that they don't want what's good for you. You know, the saying says, misery love company.
Yes.
You don't know what they're miserable in, but God does. That's why you got to be very careful at the things that God shows and speaks to you, because everybody's not meant to hear. You're not meant to expose everything to everybody.
Right. And I mean, it was important, just like you said, when you start talking about who, you know, you can confide in, and what needs to be, you know, what needs to be first steps when things are going on in your life. You know, I think about some of my clients, and maybe you can share a little bit regarding yours, is, you know, when does a person begin to seek that help that they need? Is it when they're at the point of being broken, or is it at a time when, you know, they feel like, quote unquote, things are going all right?
I think, and I really believe this with my whole heart, that it should be a place, a time, and a period of the day, every day, whether things are going well or not well. You need a consistency prayer life. You need a consistently life of praise, thanksgiving. One thing that I started doing at the onset of my first diagnosis, a girlfriend gave me a God box. And never heard of God box before, but I used to write down, I started writing down all the prayer requests and things that I wanted God to do. I'd date it, time it, write it out on that little, because it came with prayer requests, slips. And I would write it down. And at the end of a week or a month, I'd go back and I'd look. And I'd go through, and every one of those things that God had answered, I'd write down the date he answered it and how he answered it. And what that does, as I've told my clients, that gives you a building of faith, because you can see God's track record.
Yes, I love that.
And anytime you get down and out, you go back to that God box. You know, many people don't have a God box. I tell them, go get a shoe box. Put some nice paper around it, like you're gift wrapping it. Cut a hole in the top. Go get some paper and cut it up. Make you some prayer requests and start from there.
Yeah.
And those are things that will build your faith and show you who your God really is. Because he wants you to trust him, and he wants you to know that, you know what? You may not see me. You may not even think you hear me. But if you go back and see what I've done, you know that I'm present.
Yes.
And that's a way that you can get in the mode of making sure you're on that journey. You've started.
Yes. I absolutely love that. That is a wonderful concept to come. A God box. And yes, going back, because just like you said, it's about building foundations. You know, some of the things that I do with my clients is, you know, I say, all right, when a situation arises, is there a verse? You know, we are in the information age. This is the age of technology. We can find out about anything. What does the scripture say about this particular situation? And then I tell, go and seek the word and see, and what does it say about that particular situation? So that way, sometimes, you know, when you're at the point where you're feeling frustrated, then you can go back to that point of reference. Wait a minute, what did the scripture say about that? He said in this particular situation, X, Y, and Z. Then go back to that word and meditate on that word.
You know what? There's one that I love that covers everything that you can go through. And if people can just memorize it and let it just penetrate. And it's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 7, where it says, thus says the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. So whatever you're going through, that word covers a multitude of things. Right. That if you're standing on that word and giving God back the word, Lord, you said it, that it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. I'm facing this divorce. I'm facing a sickness. I'm facing this or that. You said it won't stand, neither will it come to pass. So you've already proclaimed that something is coming against me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But your word says it will not stand, nor neither will it come to pass. You've already given me the promise and the assurance that that's what your word says, and I'm standing on that word.
Yes, yes. And it's there. And it's there for us to meditate on, and it's there for us to refer to whenever we need it. Whenever we need it.
Absolutely.
We don't have to carry
absolutely.
Around, you know, once upon a time you used to carry around a little Bible. You had a little pocket Bible. Now, you know, they have all kinds of apps and things that are on your phone. So you always have it at your fingertips, but it's just a matter of, do we go back to it? Again, it's
needs
how
to be
we
a sincerity
respond.
there.
Yes,
yeah,
it's all
being
about how we
sincere,
respond and not react.
yeah,
Yes,
yep,
yeah,
being sincere and not just verbalizing something, but mean it in your heart. You
yes.
know, where you know that you know that you know. He
yes.
said it, I believe it, now I'm going to be it.
And that it takes root. It takes root in your heart and in your mind. So that way it becomes like second nature. You know, you get up and you get up and you go through your morning routine. Is your routine to say a prayer before your feet touch the ground and get out of that bed? Before
Yes,
you
ma'am.
rise up. That's how you start your day. Is that part of your routine? Is that something that's just like brushing your teeth? It's just
It
something
better
that
be.
comes to you. Right. That just becomes a way of living. But you know, it always has to start somewhere. And there I have clients who you know, come to me who are like, you know, I know I want to be on this journey, and they may not necessarily be, you know, have a church home, but they're like, no, but I want to establish, I want to lay that foundation. And like I said, I know like you're saying that you have that God box, you know, establishing that foundation. It has to start from somewhere.
Well,
You
you know,
know?
I think I'm a little bit different now than I used to be in terms of, I really believe church is great and there's a time for it. But I think we need to be more intentional about building with God first, you know, because when we build that foundation with Him and we're getting in the Word, when we go and plant into the body, no one can tell us what the Word is. We know it for ourselves. And so many people get detoured and some even ran over with wrong doctrine.
That's
And if
right.
you don't know that word for yourself, then you can be led straight to hell.
That's
So
right.
I'm that believer that I believe you got to first get it with God. Once you get
That's
it with Him, then you go and you connect.
right.
Because then you know God for yourself.
Right.
And ain't
Discernment.
nobody got to tell you anything different than what His word says, because you're eating it, you're being fed off of it,
That's
and can't
right.
nobody give you an imitation.
That's
You
right.
got it for yourself.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You have to know it for yourself. Study to show thyself approved, the workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly deriding the word of truth. My favorite scripture.
Yes.
That is one of
Beautiful
my favorites.
scripture.
Study to
Yes.
show thyself approved. Yeah,
Yes.
we have to know it for ourselves. We have to have that. And it starts with that relationship. You know, it starts with just saying, look, I surrender all. You know, I'm coming to the end of myself means that I'm now I can now experience you.
I'm sure you've had people that you've known, probably even clients, that's so fixed on the pastor and what the pastor says that they don't even know how to even do things in their own lives because they got to get what the pastor said. And I'm like, how can you give any man that kind of authority over your life?
That's
You know,
right.
because he's human just like you are. Now,
Exactly.
I'm not saying you don't reverence him as the pastor,
Right.
but you can't put him above God.
That's right. He is a man. He is a human. Okay, he is just like us. He is a spiritual being living a human experience.
You got it.
And we're going to see some of those things reflected. And that's why we have so many people that, experience church hurt. And then we have people
Yeah.
who experience, negativity and things that have happened, and it has turned them away. And that's why, like you said, it's so important that the relationship that you establish, the conversations that you have are with God. Sometimes we can bring those things, and just like you said, everybody is not for us. Everybody is not looking, to for our best interests. Because again, they are human, but when we seek God's face in things that we're doing,
Oh, yeah.
it begins to change things. That mindset is different. But
Exactly.
just like you said, knowing it for yourself,
Got to.
you
Because when
have to
those
know it
ashes
for yourself.
start falling,
Yes.
man can't give you beauty from it. He can't do anything to those ashes but just scrape them away or
Right.
dispose of them.
That's right. That's right. It's powerful. It's powerful. But it's something, like you said, that is ongoing. It is never ending.
Not as long
Okay?
as you're in the body.
That's it. Because he knows our life from the beginning to the end.
Ooh.
Every hair on our head is numbered. He knows these things.
Yeah.
We don't. And we
Not
have
at
to
all.
surrender. It's the biggest cliffhanger, this life that we live, because we never
Ooh.
know how it's going to end.
No,
We
you don't.
never know the end,
From one
but
minute
he
to the
does.
next.
That's it. Just like he says, and just like you said, it's when you get to that space where you begin to stumble and you start to fall again, and it's just like, how are you going to land? How are you gonna land?
That's why.
Are you gonna land in the briars with the sharp edges that are sticking up? Or is the situation going to fall into fertile
Oof.
soil that's going to allow us to continue to grow and to be nourished
Exactly.
from it? Or is it going to be dried and cracked where our situation is just going to fall on top of it and it's not going to penetrate? And cause us to see that, there is foundation there. What does our foundation look like? Is it fertile? Is it filled with briars? Is it dry and arid and cracked? And we have to begin to establish that. That's what our spiritual journey is all about. The soil. How are we changing the environment so that we're
That's it.
thriving,
Right.
so that we're thriving and not suffering? Are we putting more dirt on top of clay? Are we putting water in it? Are we fertilizing? How are we feeding ourselves?
You got to water the seed.
Yes. Yes.
If you want to harvest, you got to water the seed.
Yes. And you've got to pull out some of those weeds and everything
Oh,
else, those
every
things that are
day.
going to be
Every
in the way every day,
day.
all day. If you want to see a harvest, okay?
Ooh.
Because some of that fruit that it bears is going to be some of it is going to be nice and ripe. And if you don't tend to it and pull it and harvest it in due season, it can be damaged.
Ooh,
Somebody
what you
come and
talking
pick
about?
at it. People come and pick at it.
Ooh, girl.
And
Ooh.
then we have to figure out what to do. We have to figure out what to do with it. But so much of what we go through is relying and it's like you said, in that relationship, in that mindset,
That's
in that
where it all
getting to a place of
starts.
growth.
Yep, that's
Yeah.
where this all starts. Because if you build that foundation early on, when the
Yeah.
storms come, you've got a foundation where it won't knock you off course. You
Right.
can run for cover because you know where your anchor is.
Yes.
And I think that's the important thing is knowing, sometimes when you get in a storm and you're reaching for it, if you don't know it, sometimes it's too late because the storm will just
Right.
overtake you. But if you've got that foundation already established, you get hit, but you're still
Right.
standing, you know.
That's right.
And that's what's crucial. It's getting it before the storm comes,
Yes.
because once that storm hits, it can be rough waters, you
I
know,
see.
and oftentimes people don't make it out of the storm because they wasn't anchored, you know. But if you got that anchored, I'm a living witness that I don't care what comes and goes, God's holding you in the midst of it all.
That's it. That's it. I believe it to be true. I believe it to be true. Because what happens is, like you said, you have to be able to stand. You know, just like they tell us, like that tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Can't be moved. We can't be moved. You know, we're not on sinking sand. We're on a firm foundation. And just
You
like you
go.
said, we have to be at that point where we're able to stand. Okay, because what they say, you know, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything.
There you
Okay. And when you're
go.
laying down and those storms come and somebody starts throwing dirt at you, eventually you're gonna get buried, right? But when you stand up and it's hitting you, but you're standing firm, what it's gonna do is it may come at you, but it's gonna fall right to the ground.
You go. There you go.
When
There
you're
you
laying
go.
down, you get buried. When you're standing up, okay, yeah, it's gonna hit you. You may get a little bit on you, but you'll be able to wash it off.
What does Psalm 91 say? That's it right there.
That's it.
That's your anchor. Says
Yeah.
won't come nigh you.
That's
Because
it.
God's got you. You know, that
Ooh.
blood on that doorpost.
Yes.
The same
Yes.
stuff, you know. And I'm a firm believer in anointing, you
Yes.
know, anointing everything that I can touch, put my hands on. Because I
Yes.
feel like if I don't, ain't no telling what could come in that entryway. So I'm anointing
Yes.
doors, windows, and everything. You know,
Yes.
I want my peace. Once you find that peace, oh, you fight to keep it. Because ain't
Yes.
nothing like having peace. Even when
Yes.
storms are going on, having that peace gets you through and keeps you going through where
Yes.
you can weather the storm.
That's it. That's it. And it's so important. How our spirituality, how our walk, how our journey is so much a part of who we are. And a lot of us saw it challenged when when the pandemic hit. People didn't know what to do. Okay. We forgot. We forgot who to trust in. You know, there were many people who just said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I can't see my way through. Why would he do this to us? Why do we have to be indoors? There was a reason. There was a reason.
I don't know that he just keeping his arm around us, protecting us from the seen and unseen.
Yes.
We got
And
something
allowed
else to
us all
work
to go
with.
through at the same time. At the
Yes.
same time.
Nobody was exempt.
Yes. Nobody. From the elite to the poorest of the
You got,
poor,
see, that's what I'm talking about.
no
That's
one
when you
was
know it's God, when it
yes.
affects everybody.
Everybody. Nobody was exempt, no amount of money.
Couldn't get you through that.
Situation. That's it. And some went on, and some are still here to tell the story.
Oh yeah. Oh
You
yeah.
know?
And we
But it's
thank God
so
for
important.
bringing us
Yeah.
through it.
That's it. So it is important that we, like you said, that we establish that journey, that we establish that foundation, that we create that God box
Ooh. Ooh.
that has those tools in it, that we seek that scripture that we can refer to. Because just like we have things that are our go-to, like we hear that statement all the time, what's your go-to? Okay. We know, like I said, everybody, you pop their trunk, somebody's gonna have some jumper cables in there. They're gonna have a tire iron. They're gonna have that spare tire because they know that something's gonna happen with that car, and they're gonna need to have something. If you're
You
driving around with an empty, if you're driving around with an empty trunk, something's wrong. Okay, something's wrong. Okay, that's like we don't sit. Our refrigerator is not empty because we know we're gonna get hungry, and when we open that refrigerator door, our hope is that there's something in there. Okay. And we have to think about the same has to be true for our spiritual journey. When things are going on and situations arise, what is our go-to? What do we reach for? Do
it.
we reach for the word that's our daily bread? Or
Ooh.
do we start getting, or do we reach for our cell phone and try to phone a friend? Is that temporary or is that something that's going to be sustainable? And those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves.
Well,
What's our go-to
that's
when
it.
things are going on? What is that relationship that we've established? Because just like you said, you'll find that when situations come, you'll see who's around.
Sure.
Okay. But who's the constant? Because he's always there standing in the corner. He's just waiting on us.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, he's
Wait,
like, he's
let
been there the whole
one night.
time.
Yep,
That's it.
all
He's been
the
there the
time.
whole time.
All the
Yeah.
time.
All the
Yes,
time. He
yes,
is there.
yes.
He is there. Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, this has been such a wonderful conversation.
I've enjoyed it.
It truly has, because there's so much simplicity in it. But at the same time, we're so challenged by it, because we let the situation overtake
Yep, that's it.
our ability to remember those relationships.
Yes, we
Because
do.
some people put God in a place that's so far beyond where we are
Exactly.
that we forget that he's there. And because we can't physically see him, we he's not there. I'm here by myself. You're never alone.
Not at all.
Because
Not
he's
at all.
always within, and it's just a matter of establishing that and
Yes.
understanding that,
We
and
don't
knowing,
control nothing. We don't
yes,
control a thing.
not a thing, not a thing.
Not a thing.
Okay, just like you said, beauty for ashes.
Yep.
Okay,
Yep.
beauty for ashes.
It's
All
amazing
right,
what it
so.
can do.
Yes, it is. It is amazing what he can do when we put our faith in him. And it's like you said, we're challenged consistently, even as spiritual coaches. We're challenged.
Oh, a coach needs
Situations are going to come. Oh, yes.
a
All the time. All the time. Okay. Because you're challenged. Okay. What they say, great responsibility.
Yes.
With things that are brought to us, with great responsibility comes those challenges. They're coming.
Ooh.
They're coming. And we
Yes,
have
they
to be just as ready, because they're
They really
coming. And we get challenged. We're all challenged. We're
Yes.
seeing, we're living in a society now where we're seeing a whole lot of things that are going on, and
Oh.
we're seeing a whole lot of people reacting instead of responding to what's happening.
Exactly.
And we're not wanting it to be that we're getting to a place of brokenness where that healing isn't taking place, where that pruning and that fertile soil isn't being established, where we're drying up and we're being hardened by the things that we're seeing going on around us. So we have to
Exactly.
be prepared. Be prepared
Yes.
so that when the storms come, we're ready. Yeah.
Got it. You got
But
it,
in
'cause
saying
they're coming.
that, huh? Yes.
They're
Yes,
coming.
so as we start to wrap things up, I want to give people an opportunity to be able to get in contact with you if they want to know a little bit more about those things that you are doing, and if they want to, hear a little bit more about your story. How can they get in contact with you?
I'm on LinkedIn. Only thing, LinkedIn and Facebook. You just type in Linda Brooks Johnson, and it'll pull me right up. Email address is a time well spent 2013@gmail.com.
All right, hold on a minute. Let's say a time well spent.
At 2013. I'm sorry. A time well spent 2013 at
13.
gmail.com.
Okay.
And
13.
LinkedIn and Facebook, it's just Linda Brooks Johnson.
Johnson. All right. All right. That is
Kim, thanks
awesome,
so
though. No.
much.
Yes, this has been, like I said, a beautiful time. And know that, with all of my guests on the How Now podcast, you are always welcome to come back and to
Thank
talk
you.
about your journey and things that are going on in your life, because what's happening right now is not what's happening. It may not be happening 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 years from now. So you're always welcome to come back and share with us. Once you are a member of the How Now family, that's forever. That's
Well,
forever. So
thank
you're
you.
always welcome back.
Thank
Now,
you. Thank
two things
you.
that we'll do before we go. I always ask my guests, how are you living in this now? What are you doing to create your peaceful existence? How are you coping?
I am just trying to stay focused on the positive. and always assure myself that I don't control anything, but God has me in everything. And there's nothing he and I together can't handle. As long as I keep that forethought, I'm rolling. Like they say, I got my swag.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And then finally, are there any words of encouragement or inspiration that you want to leave with our listeners before you go?
The only thing that I would say is run to God as fast as you can and make sure you get a relationship, a personal relationship, before the storms hit.
Yes, like you said, be ye prepared.
Yes,
be ye
because the
prepared.
storms are coming.
They're coming.
They're
They're
coming.
coming. Yes. Well, Linda, thank you so much for
Oh,
being
you're
with us.
welcome. Thank
Thank you so
you.
much for sharing and for
Oh, my
being
pleasure.
who you are.
Thank
And we
you.
wish you the best in all that you do right now and
Same
moving
to you.
forward.
Okay.
Thanks
Take
so
care.
much. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And that will do it for this edition
Okay.
of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you next time, I say peace.
Thank you.